If you are 15 years and under in this room tonight, Lompie, hoe oud is jy? Lompie, so I'm, okay, you're 15, you're under 15, another under 15. Okay, whoever you are 15 years old, are you 15? Okay, you're all 15 years old. Okay, well that's, and Lisa, yeah. So I think there's this dream in my heart for church. I know Philip and I have shared about it. It's like a church where, and there's a Psalm, it's 119. 119 says that there's mighty children in the land. Do you know there's some of the kings in Old Testament times. The one guy, Joshua, he was eight years old when he's 8 years old, when seven. Okay, 8 years old when he became king, and he was a good king. There was another one that was 16 years old, and he was a king, and it says that he was a good king while he was serving the Lord and doing his duties as a king. So there's this potential in the younger generation to lead a nation. Who of you feel that you can lead a nation sitting here? Okay? I believe that you can lead a nation. So one of the dreams that we have for the evening service, actually for Shofar George, is that a 16-year-old will, in the next 5 years, come up to preach a message. And not share a testimony, but preach a message where all the old people are like, wow, that is a massive revelation. So that's the kind of faith that I have. And I know Luke and Philip and Nelly, ek en Nelly het ook al baie gepraat oor, that we have for this, for the next generation to walk in. And I just want to, because I feel there's a seed being birthed amongst you guys, that you're going to walk with the Spirit. And you're going to be doing a lot of more mightier things than I've ever done. Just because you are, our ceiling, my ceiling is your floor. Okay, so let's just open your arms. I just want to pray into this. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for a new generation that seeks after you, Lord. Lord, that pursues holiness, God. That pursue you through the word, but also in your presence, Lord, through worship, God. Thank you, Lord, that we just cut off all the lies about being teenagers and being rebellious. Lord, we just cut it off in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we say that we will raise mighty children in the land from this congregation, Lord, in the churches, in this city, Lord. And we pray for those mighty kings to stand up in the name of Jesus. Amen. Great. And it's also great to, who of you are in the VRL now, or Kosse's prefect, just raise your hand. Okay, great. And we actually have the head boy of Otoniqua High School here with us, Thomas Staangehop. And then there was so many of you actually prayed for Thomas to become head boy. So like Simon, in the beginning of the year we had a camp and Simon was like, Tommy, ek bid vir jou, jy gaan hoofseun raak, okay? So there's different functions in the body of Christ. There's different functions in terms of leadership. And yes, we honor those who got leadership positions, but all of you played a part in that. And I know there's so many of Tommy's friends that really pursued with him the position that he has now. So let's just applaud everybody that was involved in this. Okay, amen. Great. So tonight we're going to speak on baptism. Who of you sitting here have been baptized? Who of you had a great experience being baptized? Some of you didn't even know what you were doing, but God blessed it because He even loves your obedience. I'm going to start off with a picture quickly, and you must just discuss with the person next to you what is happening in this picture. What is happening here? Just chat to the person next to you. Okay, let's get a few answers. What's happening? Who's brave enough? Okay, what's happening? Somebody is about to get drowned. Okay. Who else wants to go? Okay, somebody is about to get drowned. That's Penrico, wat gebeur hoor? Spear fishing. Yeah, there's a spear gun. Okay, who wants to? Okay, so The story behind this is this guy is about to get drowned. He got baptized in the 16th century, and because of him getting baptized, they drowned him because he got baptized. Because legislation was passed that if you get baptized, you need to get drowned. And it wasn't secular people, atheists, that did this. It was the church that did this. So when we talk about baptism, it is a big thing. And it's a little controversial also. Whoever of you had a fight with somebody, my dad's a duomini, and I'm a pastor in a charismatic church where we believe that you baptize people after they get saved. I've had big fights with my dad, even to the point now it's like a joke in our family. The other day, I invited him to go diving with us and a few other friends, and he said no, he doesn't want to go with us snorkeling because he's afraid I'm going to put his head under the water and I'm going to tell everybody he's baptized. But it's a big thing, and I remember when I was 19, 20 years old, I was in a shofar church in Stellenbosch, and the guys told me about baptism, and I wanted to go on this mission, and they said one of the requirements for going on a mission was to get baptized. I'm like, no, I'm not going to get baptized. I'm going to tell you from the word that you don't have to get baptized. And as I was fighting with these people and asking, reading books, reading what the Bible said, somebody came up to me and said, hey, Elmo, you don't have to worry about that. In the end, it's just all wet Christians. But that's not true. Baptism is powerful. There's a song about that Jason Upton sings. He says, if he was a bird, he would go where the scarecrows are because he would know they will find the best fruit. So sometimes the most controversial topics, and I loved what Dipia did, even the gifts of the Spirit is very controversial because maybe it's like the scarecrow. The devil doesn't want us to go deeper into those topics. Why? Because there's so much power. There's amazing fruit lying behind this scarecrow. So I want to just put it out there. Yes, it's a controversial topic, but I really believe it's something that's so crucial for us as believers to catch the understanding of baptism. So let's go open our Bibles, Romans 6, 2-8. Remember to bring your Bible to church. It's an amazing... You will feel like an amazing person walking through the church's door with your Bible in your hand. Nay, Luke? Okay. Okay, so let's go for this. Romans 6 from verse 2. By no means, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Amen. It's a powerful scripture. It speaks of baptism. What happens when somebody gets baptized? What happens? You go down under the water. And that symbolic act of saying, okay, God, I'm going to look stupid to the world. I'm going to become a wet Christian to the world. I'm going to go down under the water. Somebody's going to push me down. If you get baptized in our church, we push you down and we keep you there for a while so that you die properly. So you die there. And it says here in this text, it says that we get united with Jesus in his death. Okay, what does Jesus' death mean? What's the significance of Jesus' death? Jesus died so that we can have life, so that our sins are forgiven, so that we can get healed, so that we don't have to go and do the law anymore to get saved, but we can receive forgiveness, life, freedom because of Jesus. So it's a powerful thing to think that when I get baptized, I've made this commitment, this verbal commitment to God to follow Him with everything in me. So now I get baptized, I get drowned into the water, into His blood, literally, almost. I'm dead with Jesus. So what happens if you're dead? It means that you go into a next realm. It means that the old life has passed away. That old life has passed away. It's not the same person anymore. And I've shared this so many times. I was addicted to pornography, but that's not me. I'm like, I can speak about that person because he was a useless sinner. But I'm not a useless sinner anymore. I'm full of Jesus. And if Jesus is me, the fullness of God lives in me. Then I'm a saint. So that's what happens. You die to your old life. Some of you sitting here, you just want to die to your old life. Baptism is sealing the work of the Holy Spirit that happens through your salvation when you commit yourself and you get born again. That's what baptism does. So not only is death, and the crazy thing is not only his death, but also his resurrection. In his resurrection, it speaks of victory. Some of us are still living in his death only. You're like, yes, the old self has passed away, but I'm still fighting my way forward. And Jesus says, hey, I want you to understand that I want you to walk from victory. It's not like a rugby game, South Africa versus Argentina. You will never get to victory at the end. But hey, like you're trying to get to the victory. Like then you think, oh, I'm going to get there. No, we're not going to get there kind of thing. But the Christian life starts in victory. When you have Jesus in you, you are victorious. That saying in Afrikaans, almal is wenners, that's actually so true. There's a victory that God and Jesus has already gotten for us on the cross. So let's just quickly give you, I'm just quickly going to give you context of where this baptism thing comes from, because it's not a, I remember when I was young, we would drive past this river and people in white clothes with baptized people, and it just look weird to me, okay? But it's not, it shouldn't be a weird thing, just to give you some context. Okay, so in Leviticus 15, it speaks of a ritual, of a washing ritual. So if you're an Israelite, you had to go through these rituals, and it was part of the law, and you would be clean, ritually clean by this ritual of literally washing yourself. So that's where it started. Then a guy came along and he started proclaiming, hey, there's a Jesus coming and I'm going to baptize you. And that baptism was a baptism unto repentance. So John was in between the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New Covenant. He was saying, hey, there's a Jesus coming, and I'm going to start proclaiming what Jesus is going to do, and I'm going to show you the way, and one of the things that I'm going to introduce you to is this baptism thing. So he was the guy in the wilderness screaming, get yourself baptized now! And that was a baptism unto repentance. That was before Jesus died on the cross. And then Jesus came along, and then John said, no, but I can't baptize you. I can't baptize you, he told Jesus, because you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. I'm not worthy to baptize you. And then Jesus said, I have to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus knew there was a road paved for him that he had to walk through. And that's one of the things of baptism. It's actually just, it's a powerful step of obedience. Like God, Jesus says, go into all the nations, make disciples, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when you baptize yourself, there's a step of obedience that you need to take. And it was resembled in Jesus' act to be baptized by this wild guy called John the Baptist. So then Jesus died, and he said, okay, but I'm going to introduce to you to a new way of living. So we had the old covenant, then we had the in-between section of John, and then we have the new covenant. So when Jesus died on the cross, everything changed. And this new covenant now, as a symbol, has baptism. And that's what we're going to do tonight. And when you get baptized, you get drowned in Jesus' death. And you get resurrected into his life. And that's the context of baptism. So for the Israelites, for the Christians, the Jews getting saved, it wasn't a weird thing. They've already seen people getting wet and getting washed. And now in this new thing, and this new dispensation, they understand, I'm getting baptized into Jesus. And in order for me to be a follower of Jesus, I need to get saved. I need to give my heart to Jesus, my life, everything. And then I get the seal of baptism, which means that I die and I'm raised with Jesus. That's powerful. That's powerful. So let's read Colossians 2, 10 to 12. It's on the slides, the projector. It says, you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised, if you've heard of circumcision. We still do it in this church, okay, you guys? No, we don't do that in this church, okay? With a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. So I'm going to explain this scripture with the help of this next table. Okay. So in the Old Testament, God chose a people, and the people's name was Israel, okay? And then the new covenant, so after Jesus' death, everything changed. There's a new dispensation. The spiritual people that Jesus called was called, you are the church. Okay, so we have this side, the Old Testament, and then we have the New Testament, okay? So the Old Testament, it was an external covenant. So Moses, he got the law on stones. In Jeremiah 31, it says that the law is written on our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So you have it's an external thing. They had to go do external rituals to get saved, to get into the people of God. Now in the New Testament, how do you get into the church? How do you get into the church? Whoever you know. You get born, somebody said born. You get born into the church. How do you get born into the church? You get born again into the church. How did you become an Israelite? You got born into Israel. Your mom's a Jew, your dad's a Jew, and you are a Jew. That is amazing. So that's how you became an Israelite. Or you had to go through all these rituals, including circumcision. And we're not doing that anymore. So everybody, all the men say amen, okay? But now, in the new covenant, how do you become part of the church? Your dad's a Christian, your mom's a Christian, so you're a Christian. Is that how it works? No. In the New Testament, you become the son of your father, God, through being born again in Jesus. So you, in the spirit, you become part of a family, and that family is called the church. So in the Old Testament, we had circumcision. There was a sign of the covenant. So what is covenant? It's basically the way that God related to his people. The way that God related to his people. He said, man, I love you so much, Kanye, and you are Israel, and I love you so much. What does love do? Love always goes to the person that you love. If you love somebody, if I love Lodewijk, I just want to be as close as possible to Lodewijk. But now, God has a problem. His people, they're not listening to him. And they're not holy. So he is holy. He can't get as close as possible to them as he wants to get to them. So he then makes a covenant with them and say, okay, this thing will keep me close to you. So one sign was a circumcision. The other sign was the Passover. And that was the external things that had to happen in order for you to celebrate this covenant in the Old Testament. But now in the New Testament, that's much more glorious than the Old Covenant. You are the church when you get born again. You get set free from your past life, from your sinful life, and then you receive the signs of the New Covenant. And what are the signs of the new covenant? It's baptism. One of them is baptism, and that's what some of you are going to do tonight. And the other one is communion. Do you know what communion is? Jy drink hom en jy eet die broodjie. But it's so much more powerful than only drinking and eating something. It's actually remembering what Jesus did on the cross for us. Okay, that's to give you context. So, what's the significance of baptism? First of all, it's about your relationship with God. It's about being obedient to the one you love. If you love God, you will be obedient to Him. The second one in Romans 6, it speaks of a place of authority. Lodewijk, kom gehuizo. Okay, so now you're following Jesus. Lodewijk is Jesus, just for now. He's even Jesus on the rugby field, then Lodewijk. He tackles like Jesus. Okay. So this is Jesus. Now I get baptized. Baptism means that I get connected to Lodewijk. So I'm connected to Lodewijk. So when the devil comes and he sees me, he doesn't see me only, he sees Lodewijk. And the devil is not afraid of Amor, but the devil is afraid of Jesus. So that's what baptism does. It gives you a place of authority. Because I'm connected to Jesus. And the devil is afraid of Jesus. So you die and you get resurrected because of Jesus, of your baptism. Okay, so that's a place of authority. It's a safe place where Jesus keeps you. It affirms forgiveness. In other words, your sins are washed away. And then also new life. It tells you that you have departed from your old life. And it shows symbolically that you've now entered into the promised life. And then lastly, it's also initiation into the church. So, who can get baptized? Who can get baptized? Anyone, okay? But anyone that's following Jesus, okay? So, here's this thing. I think Christianity works like this. First you believe, first you surrender, and then you are empowered to walk this life with Jesus. Do you know that? Some of us, you want to stop smoking, you want to stop drinking, you want to stop sleeping around, and then eventually, when through all your own works, you are so holy that Jesus can receive you, only then you want to surrender your life. Who of you have heard of that argument, okay? Many times we want to do that. You want to be so holy before you can get to Jesus. Jesus say, no, that's not how it works. My grace pursues you, and I want to get to you. No wonder, no matter where you are or what you've done. So when we receive Jesus, we're like, God, I can't do this. Can't do this. Lord, I'm still smoking, I'm still drinking, and I'm still watching pornography. I can't do this. And then Jesus tells you exactly, you can't do that. Not that you can't sin, but you can't save yourself. That's why I died on the cross in your place, so that I can come into your life, so that I can save you. So some of you are sitting here and say, hey, I can't get saved, I can't follow Jesus because I'm unholy. Yes, exactly, great place to be. To say, hey God, I surrender to you, I give everything to you, and then Jesus will change it. You can't change yourself. You can't get yourself into a sinless state. You can't do that. And the same with baptism. So now you've committed yourself to Jesus. And you're like, God, wow, this is amazing. I can experience you during worship. And when people pray for me, I've never experienced so much love in my life. Wow. But, oh, God, I'm still struggling with these small things. Or maybe it's big in your head. It's big things. So I'm not going to get baptized. I'm not going to walk out and pray for somebody. Because what if that person know what I've done and the rugby field this past weekend. I'm not going to do this. Why? And what are you doing? You're only looking at your own stuff. You're not looking at what Jesus did. Yes, there's a process we call sanctification. In other words, you get saved and the Holy Spirit floods your heart, and then you must give, it must manifest in your life and everything you do. That's called the process of sanctification. But it starts with you surrendering, not with you becoming more holy in your works. Yes, you need to apply discipline. Yes, but the first discipline you need to apply is the discipline of surrendering all. Everything. Your dreams, your old life, your mistakes, your sins, even your strengths. Just surrender all. Say, Jesus, there, have it. And that, from that place, God can work with you. And that's where the process of sanctification starts. You are holy, but you're walking out this life of holiness. Okay, let's stand.